How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world, Tuesday. And so that means we've got Raw to talk about here tonight. Raw coming off the worst rating in 17 years. The one good thing they had going for them yesterday was they weren't going up against a strong football game. Now, the big question is going to be, how did the show do? We'll know this afternoon. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the show. I expect that the show is going to be up. But if the show is down, this is bad news. This is bad news if the rating is down from last week against non-marquee football competition. I don't know how it's going to do. I do know that when I watched the show, I thought, you know, if this had been up against a strong football game, this would have broken the record yet again. I did not like last night's show. The main event angle was the formation of the League of Nations, Wade Barrett, Rusev, Sheamus, and Alberto Del Rio. The four of them, the top heel faction in WWE, they will in some ways be replacing the Authority for the time being. You're still going to see Hunter and Stephanie on television, but the League of Nations is going to be your new group of top stars. And interestingly enough, WWE has been sending out some surveys. Sent out a survey to their WWE fan council asking them about Raw. Are you no longer watching Raw? It asked. If so, why not? When did you tune out? Why do you tune out? Why are you not watching the show? Apparently, they can't figure this out. And what's funny is, they get quarter-hour ratings, so they can look and find out when people tuned out. But they want to know more information. I don't want to say it's concerning, but I'm going to tell you in a moment why it could be concerning. We'll be joined by Mike Sempervivi as well. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, and yes, Mike Sempervivi is joining us here today. He is recovering from a horrible illness. Is that right, Mike?
Yes, and I will say this. I tried to take a bunch of gimmicks, you know, the NyQuil gimmick and all these other things to try to take care of this. And while on those gimmicks, you would figure that Raw would be a more entertaining program, because I remember back in the day of the Attitude Era when wrestling began, if you watch the WWE Network, I remember I was like college-aged, and we did a lot of gimmicks, and it would sometimes make Raw and Nitro even far more entertaining. I will say, at least with like the NyQuil gimmick, though, now it doesn't make it more entertaining. And that's probably because the show was so bad, there was nothing that was going to make it entertaining.
Well, it's because the show, it's so long. You take NyQuil and watch Raw, you'll be out. Dead asleep.
Horrible. Horrible.
As I mentioned before the break, WWE sent out a survey, and they're asking fans various questions about why you may not be watching Raw. Asking the questions, do you watch it on DVR? When do you watch the show? Why aren't you watching it? What segments do you tune out in? It's funny to me because they have all those stats already. They have their DVR viewership numbers. They have their quarter hour ratings. I'm sure they have minute by minute ratings. So why there needs to be a fan survey asking why people tune out, that's clearly not the information that they need.
Because you keep asking the questions until you get the answer that you want to hear.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. Many years ago, WCW, when they were having problems, they sent out a survey and they asked fans what they wanted to see. And the fans said everything that you would have expected at that period, less old people in the main event, more cruiserweights, less stupid angles, more good action, the usual. And WCW got the results of that survey, and the results were not what they wanted to hear, and so they discarded the survey. And the next thing you know, WCW is dead. Now, I don't think that WWE is going to die in the next couple of years, but I think that it's very, very clear what the problems are with Raw. It is no mystery. One of the biggest is the show is 3 hours long. I mean, I know that people are going to say it's not the length of the show, but we have one other instance in history of a show being 3 hours long, and that was WCW Monday Nitro, and the same thing happened to Nitro. It absolutely collapsed. And again, the next thing you know, the company is dead. I don't think Raw is going to kill WWE, but 3 hours is too long. I mentioned this on another show. There's a lot of, hey, Star Wars is coming out, Mike. Are you excited for Star Wars?
No.
Why?
No. I was never a big Star Wars fan.
Really?
I saw one of them in the theater, or at least two of them in the theater. I can't remember which ones they were. But okay, how about, well, I'll use Creed. Go ahead and use Creed because I like the Rocky series.
Okay, so fine. Yeah, what are we now? Would this be Rocky 7?
Six, seven. Yeah, seven. I guess seven. It would be seven.
Because
yeah.
They had Rocky Balboa. Okay, so.
Yep.
All right. So everybody loved Rocky 1, right?
Absolutely.
Rocky 2.
Yep.
Rocky 3.
Started to fade a little bit, but if you're from that era, you like Mr. T and Hulk Hogan, so yeah.
All right, Rocky 4.
Okay, starts to slip a little bit, Larry. You get the dramatic sequences. You got Drago. You got the U.S. against Russia. Yeah, but at least as far as the critics go, it died.
Rocky 5.
Yeah, nobody liked Tommy Morrison.
Rocky Balboa.
Great comeback story. Enough time had passed. It was good. They got back to their roots and what actually mattered with the story, and it was raw, and it was, you know, gritty, and it was a good comeback.
Creed.
Don't know yet. Haven't seen it.
Dave said it was awesome.
Oh, there you go.
All right, so seven movies, and we're saying what? 80% of them were good?
Yeah.
All right, so 80% of them were good. When was Rocky I made? 80s? Early 80s?
76.
Late 70s, mid-70s.
Yes.
Wow. All right, so we're looking at a series of movies, seven movies, over 39 years,
mm-hmm.
80% of which were good. Okay, now imagine all of the people behind the Rocky movies. Sylvester Stallone, who wrote the first Rocky, several of them, actually. Maybe all of them, I don't know. Rocky, let's say that you said, okay, Sylvester, you are clearly a success at writing these Rocky movies because you have a success rate of over 80%. All right, we want another Rocky movie next week. And then we want another Rocky movie the week after. And we want another Rocky movie the week after that. Oh, and by the way, make them all an hour longer. And another one after that. And another one after that. Every time somebody tells me, Brian, it's not the length of Raw, it's the creative. I always bring this up. No matter how good you are at creative, every week you've got to do 3 hours. Every single week, you've got to do 3 hours. Week after week after week after week after week after week. It is impossible. You could have the greatest wrestling minds in the history of this business, and they're not going to be able to write a great 3-hour Raw every single week. Oh, and on top of that, we got to do a SmackDown show, first run material. It's impossible. The biggest issue with this show right now is that it's 3 hours. Every issue that you can bring up, oh, we don't have stars. Oh, 50-50 booking. Yeah, those are all problems. I'm not going to say those aren't problems. All of those need to be remedied. But you know what? These are all issues related to a 3-hour show and having to get everybody on television and having to do matches and having to beat guys and beat guys and beat guys. The show is too long. And you want to know what? If every single person that they polled said, you know what the problem with the show is? It's too long. Do you think that they would move Raw back to 2 hours? I don't.
Well, of course they're not, because of the money that's involved and because of USA being involved. But I think by the time this whole thing runs out, they will really have to ask themselves the question. USA is going to have to ask the question because of the way the ratings are. Is the 3 hours worth it? And I have a feeling it will be lopped off. There's nothing you can do about it right now, but create your own ebbs and flows and utilize your time a lot better than they're doing. And I understand what you're saying about, yes, it is impossible to do it week after week with all the stuff you have. It gets tougher in January when you have SmackDown come on, but you got these 9,537 writers. Now, granted, they're all writing to one person, basically, but still, you know, at the very least, they're writing to three people. Still, you got all of these people on hand. You have a large roster of talented people that, granted, now they're all 50-50 and they're all just average. Everybody's just average, but you have these people at your disposal. You've got to utilize these people better. You put yourself in the spot of 3 hours. You're reaping the benefits of it monetarily. You now, though, have to do something to keep people involved. You used to go into this battle with football and you used to kick the crap out of football because you didn't care about what football was doing. You should care about what you're doing. They got away from that. They've gotten away from a lot of things that have worked for them over time. And I don't care if you start at an hour, make it from 10 to 11 where you just focus on that hour and you slowly go back to trying to figure out a way to utilize these 3 hours. But it doesn't matter. For as long as this contract is going to be, that's the way it's going to be with the 3 hours. So you've got to figure out a way to utilize it. You can bring it up that it's too long. Yes, it is. It's not going to create new fans. It has caused a lot of problems, but you know you have it. Now deal with it.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Logan from Ohio. And I just wanted to say, have you guys heard anything that has been related to Hanma? Because I said
I heard all about Hanma.
You a message. Yeah. Apparently, I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently he beat his girlfriend or wife or whatever she is.
Allegedly, yes.
Allegedly. I want to know if there was any truth to it.
Well, I mean, it's a story in Japan. I don't know what's going on. I know that she has accused him of kicking her in the face. They had a bunch of arguments. I guess he's on a reality show, and there's another reality show competitor, and the storyline is that he's into her, and this upset his longtime 18-year girlfriend, I believe, and they got in a big argument, and she was trying to apologize. He kicked her in the face. She has gone public with this, and apparently the latest is today, he is now claiming, no, she beat me. And now he claims that he may file suit, or it's a complete mess.
Yeah, I know, like, I'm going to say two more things. Mike, I hope you do feel better. I've been dealing with a sinus infection for the past 2 weeks. I'm only starting to get better now. And, you guys brought up a point about how weak they're booking everyone. I don't know what they're going to do with the League of Nations because they kind of outcasted Kevin Owens last night. He wasn't on the show at all, and he's gonna be facing one of their, I guess I can call him a top guy now, Dean Ambrose, at the pay-per-view, but he wasn't even on the show. What was up with that?
I don't know, and I don't think he's in the League of Nations either, which is interesting because he would be the best guy in the League of Nations. And he's from Canada, so it would fit in the storyline as well. We're going to head to a break, everybody. We'll take more phone calls, and we've got more news. And Eddie Kingston is going to be joining us here today, talking Chikara, AAW, and more. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Actually, it's not really a new day. It's the same old day, same old Raw that we see every single Monday night last night. Ratings will be in this afternoon. They'll be up and available at WrestlingObserver.com. And by the way, today is the final day of our Black Friday / Cyber Monday sale. This is it. If you don't do it today, it'll be back to normal prices tomorrow. $3.99 will get you full, unlimited access a month of Figure Four Online. Every single show that we've ever done, dating back to 2005, 7,000 shows in the archives. We do at least 2 shows a day, usually about 20 shows a week. If you add in all of the other shows, Admin Mike, Big Audio Nightmare, Carl Stern Show, Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, Brian and Vinny Show, Observer Radio, on and on and on. All of these are available. You get the full Wrestling Observer newsletter every single Wednesday. 35,000 words of news and information on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. If you read about it on the internet, it probably started in the Observer. We got back issues of the Observer every Monday from the Attitude Era. Every issue from 91 through 98 and from 2008 through today is available. Figure Four Weekly archives are up there as well from 2001. We do a lot of interesting shows, including covering the Monday Night Wars on the Brian and Vinny Show, where we've been covering the NWA World Championship Wrestling shows. Used to air at 6:05 on TBS. You can watch these shows and then listen to us review them on the Brian and Vinny Show. That's a lot of fun. Wrestling Observer Radio, all of this great stuff. It is only $3.99 for a full month of unlimited access. This has been our most successful sale of all time, which should tell you how much people are not liking the current wrestling scene because they'd prefer to read and listen to other people talk and complain about it. So if you'd like to join the club right now, $3.99, WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up right now and check it out. You won't regret it. You will not regret it. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian and Mike. It's Greg from Kansas City. How you guys doing?
What's up?
Just a quick comment and a question, actually. I've been watching wrestling for 30 years, and I've been watching Raw, and it's just amazing. I went to the house show here in Kansas City on Saturday, and it's almost like two different worlds. Like, the house show was so much fun. Everybody looked like they were having a good time. They were over. Ambrose was over. Reigns was over. Sheamus was the biggest heel in the building. And I'm watching Raw last night, and you can even tell by the guys, they're not having fun. They're not enjoying themselves on Raw, and it's just mind-boggling. The question I had is, this deal with USA, is it strictly that they only have Raw for 3 hours, or would they be able to cut Raw down to, say, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and put some first-run content, like some of the stuff they're putting on the WWE Network, up on USA Network instead?
Well, I mean, I suppose they could, but the problem with that theory is that USA is paying for Raw ratings, and while Raw ratings are bad right now, I mean, it's still better than if they did an hour of main event and then 2 hours of Raw. The main event hour would absolutely tank in the ratings, and so that wouldn't fly. I mean, I had that idea for international commitments. Like, if you've committed to sending 3 hours to Germany every Monday night, fine, send 2 hours of Raw and an hour of NXT. But the USA deal is, I mean, WWE is a vehicle for their viewership and their ratings. And so if you remove one of those hours of Raw, even if that hour is only doing, I don't know, what was it last week? 3 million viewers, a little 2.8 million viewers. I mean, you throw a main event in there and it's going to do a million viewers. So that's not going to fly. It's a good idea, but it ain't going to fly. Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
You're on the air. What's up?
It's Liam from Wild. How are you doing?
Very good. What's up?
So this is a question. When will the Raw rate out?
Liam, I hate to cut you off, but your connection is terrible and we can't hear you. So maybe try again. Apologize for that. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ian from San Antonio.
Ian, what's up?
Not that much. I'm the guy that called in yesterday with all the WWE Championship things.
Yes. For those of you that didn't hear yesterday's show, Ian almost successfully rattled off every WWE World Heavyweight Champion all the way through, I believe, 2002 before we had to go to break. It was very impressive.
I just got to the beginning of 2000, actually. And I was going to ask you if you wanted me to finish. If not, I have another question.
Another question. I believe
okay.
You.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the confidence. So TNA, as we all know, is moving to Destination America and everything. And so, you know, but I think they really need to, you know, even though I like some of the, you know, some of the creatives that they do, you know, I like the, you know, I think they're a little edgier than WWE and everything like that. But I mean, they're not really, you know, hiring up. People don't really like to talk about TNA and everything like that. And I think that a lot of, you know, like even just like, you know, when you tune into the show, and it's from the Impact Zone, just to me, like, this is that place doesn't seem like it has that much energy. And I was like, you're thinking that maybe they're like relocated and did regular shows, not like in England. I think that just cost so much money to relocate the entire operation over there. But I mean, like, maybe to Bethlehem where they're going to air the live show, or to, from New York or from Texas, that's where the Carter family is, or from Nashville, whenever they were first doing it. You think that would help, you know, them at least a little bit, at least from like the live atmosphere standpoint when you tune into the show?
No, I don't. Yeah. I'll tell you why. I watch NXT every week, and Full Sail is almost always on fire. Yes, if they tape five shows in a row, yeah, the fans are kind of tired by the fifth show. But issue is not the building. There are 9,000 wrestling companies that have run the same building week after week after week for years and years and years and years. The issue is not the building. The building is a crutch. When you run television, and you know, one of the things with TNA is sometimes they tape these television shows and like everything is out of order, and they tape it in, I mean, they don't want spoilers to get out. And so they do these weird tapings where if you're just there live, you can't figure out what's going on. Now think about that for a second. You have a dead crowd and you're presenting a product where they can't figure out what's going on because you're taping out of order or weird things are happening based on your taping schedule. It's not the building. It's the fact that the show is not entertaining to the people that are there in the building. And furthermore, they're taping in Bethlehem coming up in early January. And the reports we got from Bethlehem are that the Bethlehem fans were not in Impact the last time they were there. Where are they going to go in this country I mean, I suppose they could try and go overseas, but TNA viewership in the UK is way down as well. Where could they go in this country that they're going to get great reactions to their shows? I don't know where that would be. It is a mystery.
I got nothing to
Mike
add
as well.
Because it's, I mean, well, I mean, hey, look, if you, they're going back to Bethlehem because obviously it makes some sort of financial sense for them to do so. If you go off of the reaction and how things looked last time around, you wouldn't be going back there. But there's obviously a reason they're going back there. So it obviously makes probably the most dollars and cents for them to be back there. Maybe now that they don't have to me, I wouldn't even be worried about spoilers getting out there. I really wouldn't. You have such a limited roster now. I would figure they're going to lean on the Hardys and people like that. They're going to have to, as much as humanly possible, tape it in order, because that takes a lot of that out of the mix. I mean, again, it's not going to make anybody, you know, more people come. It may not even make them louder, but at least it will make a little bit more sense to them and give them some reason as the show is going on of how things are actually making sense and falling into place. To tape it out of order at this point really doesn't make much sense. And like you said, just doesn't help matters.
All right. We're going to shut down the phone lines because I got some news here. I'm only going to read this. I will not comment on it. I would suspect that a lot of people can figure out what's going on. Lana tweeted today, "No human being will tell me who to love. It is my choice and my life, and I am proud to live with my consequences." How about that? We got a SmackDown match tonight. They're doing Bubba Ray versus Bray Wyatt with D-Von and Tommy Dreamer, both in Bubba's corner. And, of course, the rest of the Wyatt clan will be in the corner of Bray Wyatt. And this, obviously, is going to lead to a tables match at the TLC pay-per-view. And if you haven't figured it out already, Tommy Dreamer likely in to be the man put through a table at that show, TLC, coming up in December. So that feud is going to continue, and at least we know we've got a tables match now. And also this, in addition to WWE sending out that email deal asking, why, what do you watch on Raw? Why are you not watching? They are looking for a media monitor. You know what that is, Mike?
Like an ombudsman sort of deal?
They're looking for somebody who is going to monitor news sites, media sites that talk about WWE. They're going to track them. They're going to record what these outlets are saying about the WWE brand and its product. How about that?
So an internet Howard Hughes is basically, or I guess the nice way to put it would be an aggregator. But I would say in WWE's case, it would probably be a Howard Hughes-ish type of situation where you sit there with your nails getting all long and your hair getting all grown out and mising everything that people are saying about you and reporting back. And just so you can be told that those people that are saying anything about your program are wrong.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Dummies.
Do we need one of those for this show?
Sure.
I'm going to talk about that. Maybe Ryan from Cumberland would be available. We're going to be back in just a moment, everybody. Eddie Kingston is going to be joining us on the show, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And unfortunately not joined by Eddie Kingston. Couldn't get a hold of him, so we will reschedule him for another day. It's been quite a week here. Chikara is running a big show coming up this weekend. Chikara Top Banana, which is taking place at the 2300 Arena, the former ECW Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Eddie Kingston will be working the main event against Icarus and Hollow Wicked. It is the main event of the show, Fire Ant versus Soldier Ant, a 100% natural good time family cybernetico. So much more that's coming up this Saturday, December 5th at the 2300 Arena, 4 days away.
How is Juan Francisco de Coronado not in the main event of the show named Top Banana?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you.
Huh.
But yes, I won't apologize. Also, yesterday we had some connection issues and had to do a replay of this show, but we were scheduled to have Jervis Cottonbelly on the program, and I have been alerted that Jervis is going to be on this show on Friday. And Thursday, we will be joined by Dave Meltzer to talk the newest issue of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which we do every week here on this program.
Not from Chikara.
Not from Chikara. Although, as noted, if you want to read the issue, it's only $3.99 to subscribe, and today is the final day. So I would head to WrestlingObserver.com right now and sign up a full month unlimited access for just $3.99. In addition to Dave, on Thursday, we will also be joined by Max Smashmaster, making his return to this show. I don't want to say it's the show that made him a star, but after his fantastic appearance on this program, he was given more mic time in Chikara. So we made a difference in this world, Mike, and I'm very proud of that.
He's good people, and hard work will take you to the top. Hard work and Sidney Bacabella and the memories and the power that you get from the spirit of the late Sidney Bacabella.
All righty, to the toll-free line, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Joan from Huntsville, Alabama.
Joan,
how you guys doing?
It's very rare we have a lady calling the show. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. I had an apology to make and a question. And it's not for the Shiramash. My apologies to Roman Reigns. We were at Survivor Series. We were booing him. If I had known it was a full man crying in the ring, we would have booed a little less.
No, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Before you get to your question.
Okay.
If you would have known that he was going to cry, you wouldn't have booed him?
You didn't know that Big Simone had feelings?
No, I would have booed a little less.
Because if I knew that he was going to cry, I really would have booed him.
Oh,
Come on.
When we got home and we started watching, we went on the board and it was like there's a full grown man crying in the middle of the ring, and I might not have helped that I yelled anybody but you, Roman. But you know,
wow,
I kind of feel bad for that whole thing. Yeah, no.
See, the women and the children are revolting
so far.
All right. Well, I will accept the apology on his behalf. All right. What's your question?
Oh. Okay, so in matches, whenever there's a near fall, the ref always goes two, and the wrestlers are always arguing with the ref. That was a three. Has there ever been a time that you know of where the ref has been like, hey, all right, I was wrong, it's a three count, match over?
Let me think about this. You know what? Could we count that Raw match a couple of weeks ago where Mark Henry kicked out at 2.5 and Neville started celebrating, and they didn't ring the bell or play the music? And then Neville celebrated so much that they did ring the bell and play the music. Would that count?
You know, I don't think the referee botching the count counts on it. I was thinking like real storyline, wrestler going and being like, it was three. You know, they always do it in every match at least once. And I don't understand the ring psychology of them arguing every time.
Well,
we would probably pan it.
You're talking about Roman Reigns, aren't you? His match last night.
I'm talking about every wrestler on every show ever, whenever there's a near two count. They always
There's
sure.
probably been an indie promotion, like Kikutaro or somebody has probably done this in Ebisan in Japan or something like that, you know, or some deal like that. But I don't think outside of a botch, you know, everybody always comes up with the two or the, yeah, unless it's a botch by the wrestler themselves or the ref. I don't know if anybody's ever overturned the decision.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. There's this thing called overkill. And last night when Roman Reigns was doing that match where he had to beat Sheamus in 5 minutes and 15 seconds, Roman was going for cover after cover after cover. And after every single one, he argued with the referee that it was a three. And I did like that they had a 5-minute, 15-second match, and there was something on the line, and so all he was trying to do was get a win, as opposed to, you know, we lock up and we do some holds and I go for one cover in 5 minutes. No, he was going for covers immediately. But to me, when I was wrestling, the whole thing was, if you hit like your finish, which is always your finish, and the guy kicks out really, really, really late, then yeah, you should argue with the ref. Like, that's my move. No one ever kicks out. I didn't think he kicked out. You're claiming he did. That's when you argue with the referee. But last night, Roman Reigns, you know, he hits a clothesline, makes a cover, the guy kicks out, and he argues with the ref. And he did this over and over again. And it was like, first off, has Roman ever pinned a human being with a clothesline? No. So you clothesline the man, he kicked out, and you're shocked and angry, and you're arguing with the ref. I didn't bring it up last night because it's nitpicking, but I did think it was overkill. Like, why would you argue about every single pinfall that you make in a 5-minute match where the guy is totally fresh and your cover was like after an elbow.
Acting.
Yeah.
It's the same reason we had to see this dude cry, I guess. You know, we got to see his range or apparently or something. I don't know what it is, but look at the psychology throughout the show. I mean, just the back-to-back, the knee thing with Charlotte, and then in the, you know, the main event that had Roman Reigns in it, too. That sort of stuff where it's just things are not tight, and you can tell that they're not tight right now because things like that happen. And again, the psychology throughout the show, maybe we shouldn't care about the psychology in the show, but I'm old, and these types of things, you know, actually care about. You know, if you decide to turn on the network now where they've added a bunch of Smoky Mountain in Mid-South, and along with the WCW Saturday Nights, the World Championship Wrestlings that used to come on at 6:05, you'll see a lot of that, and you won't see it anymore, and it's disappointing. And again, they're in a bad way right now. They're trying to find their way, you know. But still, no excuse. When it's bad, and last night was bad.
Let's do some of the text messages here, and then we'll get back to the phones. With all of the negativity towards Raw, could you guys mind taking a moment to say something good about the show and what you liked? Is this like a trick question?
Well,
I liked the Dolph Ziggler versus Prince Pretty match. That was a good match. You know what else I liked?
Lost.
Tell you one other thing I liked. I loved when there's four Wyatts, and they're going to kill two Dudleys. And then Tommy Dreamer runs out, and now it's 4-on-3. The advantage is still in the hands of Bray Wyatt, but the Dudleys and Tommy Dreamer have weapons. And the Wyatt clan tries to get in the ring, and the Dudleys hit them with sticks and send them packing. And this makes Bray Wyatt so angry. And he begins to scream in the aisle, "Fight like a man!" Because he's a heel, you see. And to him, it's okay if he has four men and you have two. But if you have three men and he has four and your men have weapons, that's unfair. That I thought was awesome.
I dig what you're saying on both of those things. The problem with me is, though, it ends, you know, with a lump of, you know, crap at the end of it. I'm sorry, in both cases, because Tyler Breeze has lost. Which, again, he is. What was the point of bringing him up when you had Fandango on the roster to do the exact same thing? I swear there's a curse of Summer Rae that's involved in everything that she has, you know, been a part of. Sorry, nothing against Summer Rae, except just seems to be that way. And when it comes to the, I don't know, again, you put Bray Wyatt through the table. Why do I want to see it now? What more do I need to see? You put Bray Wyatt through the table. Everything would have made sense with that whole thing if they didn't put Bray through the table, but they did. So that's how you end that. So it leaves a bad taste in your mouth that way, where, again, there was very little on this show. I mean, the fact that they try to explain the Lana Rusev thing, okay, fine. If the whole thing wasn't a hit job on Lana and Rusev, which I guess you have to, it has to be expected, but there were other ways to go about doing that too that probably would have made it more entertaining to the home viewer. Call me crazy, but again, even the things that you want to try to praise from last night, there was just this swath behind it of negativity that was a self-inflicted wound, but you can't ignore it.
This person says, SmackDown did 1.15 this week, lower than Impact used to do. Your thoughts? Yeah, the show is horrible. Actually, the show this week was kind of fun. But in general, SmackDown has been completely horrible. It is a completely missable show. And while it did do a 1.15 rating, it did do 1.652 million viewers on a Thanksgiving, which you can kind of throw that number out anyway. The show is averaging about 2.2, 2.3 million viewers, and I don't think there was one single Impact in the history of the promotion on Spike TV that did a viewership of 2.29 million. So let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Don't get me wrong. SmackDown is a useless show right now, but it is not in the Impact range, and you should throw out a Thanksgiving number. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
I got some news for Mike. It probably put a smile on his face. Cheerleader Melissa has made some more news. she's gotten involved with this, what do you call it, the lingerie fighting championships, like lingerie MMA. She's called Sheila Crash Cardinal, and she's supposed to be from Damascus, Syria.
What does this mean, Jim? She wrestles in her lingerie?
Lingerie, and Mia Yim does, too. Mia Yim's known as Megan Baby Doll.
Oh, Megan Baby Doll. Wow. Where's Ed when we need him?
I don't know.
You want to spell it so that Ed can find it?
Money.
What was that?
They must pay good money because they're pretty big names in indie women's wrestling.
I would bet that they're not making a low amount of money to do this. But I don't know. I don't know how the lingerie wrestling works. I never did it myself.
One other thing. What did you think about the Charlotte heel tease last night?
How should I say this? First off, I want to thank you very much for the call, as always, Jim. I thought that the talking segment that they did before the match was atrocious. I thought the talking segment that they did after the match was atrocious. I enjoyed the match, and when Charlotte cheated to win, and the happiest man in the building was Ric Flair.
Mm.
The cockles of my heart were warmed. That was so... he was so happy that his little girl cheated.
He was the only good part of this. The whole thing from pillar to post. Because again, basically you've just... after what you had Charlotte and Paige involved with, now Paige is going to be a heel, more attached to trying to be, you know, little Ric Flair, even though he's great. You had Becky look like a dunce, even though Becky probably should be in the top three in that division, the way it's right now. And Paige, and I guess you either like it or you don't, she was so annoying to me doing the commentary, and she is a good heel, but she tends to be more annoying than anything else, and I thought she was as that match is going on. So, hey, again, I'm trying. I don't want to be too negative. It's not like I'm going to stop watching the show or anything like that, but again, that was the best you got with the whole underlying theme of what you saw in NXT was all crap. This is what we're supposed to do with these women?
I'll be back in a moment, everybody. We'll wrap up the show. Got a couple of news bits. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Watching some of this Lingerie FC during the break. Ed claims it's a shoot. It does appear to be in an octagon, but very rare that you see a fisherman suplex in a real fight. But I will investigate this situation and maybe update tomorrow. By the way, AJ Styles missed yet another show in the New Japan World Tag League Tournament. He is nursing a back injury, a bulging disc in his lower back. He can barely move, and I don't know what this means for the rest of the matches. They've had to forfeit two matches now, and realistically, they should either replace him or I don't even know what, because he's got a lot of big matches coming up. Obviously, the Nakamura match at the Tokyo Dome. He's got the Jay Lethal match coming up at the Ring of Honor Final Battle Show, so we'll keep everybody updated on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And don't forget, this is the final day to take advantage of the $3.99 special up at WrestlingObserver.com. Full access to every show we've ever done. You get two brand new shows a day. You can podcast them to your phone. It's so easy. All of that information is up on the front page. You get access to all 7,000 shows in the archives. You get access to all of the new and archived Wrestling Observer newsletters. There's a new issue every week. Hundreds of issues in the archives. There's so much great stuff up there. It's $3.99. Today is the final day. So I recommend you head up there right now and sign up. Don't miss out. I think you'll really enjoy it if you've never tried it out before. And new and returning subscribers only, $3.99. Check it out. We're going to be back tomorrow with more. I want to thank Mike as always, all of you, the callers and listeners, everybody at Byline. We'll talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network.